This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
How's it hanging, ladies and folks? My name is Chris R.R. Bauzo, and this is my show. You're about to hear Chapter 4 of my ongoing Sword and Sorcery sci-fi narrative, a story written, read, performed, and edited, all with your ear holes in mind. So don't even concern yourself with going back to catch up quite yet, because this episode, like every episode, just so happens to be the perfect jumping on point. And then, once you're hooked, feel free to go back and check out all the previous episodes of the show while you wait for next week's tale to drop. But for now, all I need you to do is sit back, relax, and allow me to unfurl the wizard scroll. Far, far to the north, storming gray clouds had blotted out the sun. They had blackened the sky entirely as the blizzard overtook her, as gales of Arctic air blasted her from head to toe, as the bone-chilling draft slowed her progress down to a crawl, as her already burdened march forward was made all the more strenuous. But even still, she carried wrong half the reverse centaur's comatose form piggyback style further north. His equine visage stuck out just far enough above her slender shoulders that the low, shallow breaths emanating from his nostrils could tickle her pointed ears. All the while, Crystal continued her march forward through snow and wind, and worse, entering into the final stretch of land standing between herself and Mount Shitsicle.
Have no fear, little buddy.
She stroked her unconscious companion on the snoot as she did her best to console him.
Once I get my hands on one of them crystal apples, you'll be as good as new. Mark my words.
For the ill-informed, crystal apples were a most rare, most valuable gemerald which grew from a lone tree beneath Mount Shitsicle, at the very heart of the frosted north itself. When equipped, a crystal apple shall provide its wielder with an infinitely refilling mana pool that they might channel for spells and such while said apple is on their person. But they do have another use. For it is said that anyone who consumes a crystal apple is immediately cured of any disease, ailment, or injury. It was a MacGuffin the likes of which would make your mama say, "God damn, that's a big old rock!" But that was neither here nor there, because now the duo had arrived at the mouth of the cave, the entrance of the frosted dungeon, carved into the foot of that colossal, frost-coated mountain. Just as her passenger's frostbite-ridden wiener fell out and landed in the snow.
Ouch! Oh well, it'll grow back once you eat the MacGuffin,
she supposed as she scooped the thing up and stuffed it into her pocket for safekeeping.
Probably.
The elf brandished her short, jagged dagger, impulsively swirling her thumb around on the bottom of its hilt as she stepped into the main corridor of the dungeon. She was greeted with a vast assortment of doors, at least a dozen of them lining each of those frozen over cave walls. Greeted with an arched and vaulted ceiling, coated by a healthy supply of stalactites. Greeted by dozens upon dozens of ice bats, all unconsciously hanging upside down, coating the stalactites themselves with their huddled together, icy blue bodies. And about 10 yards from where she stood, a lone skeleton reclined comfortably on a wooden rocking chair in the center of the hall. Straight bing-chilling like a big villain. Who wrote this? Though upon seeing the elf enter into their domain, they frantically sprung to their feet and shoved the whole goddamn chair into a comparatively tiny satchel strung to their hip bone.
Oh shit, guys!
And with that, they dashed through a door on the elf's right.
We got another one! Places!
Then they came screaming out of a door on her left somehow, as five more of them came scrambling out from where the first had initially entered. The lot of them chased each other into and out of doors in a seemingly impossible fashion. At one point, two of the skeleton collided into one another and became conjoined at the hip, while the remaining four did a conga line across the hall, as an ice mummy and a Frankenstein joined in the chaos for a bit as well. The pair played a quick game of leapfrog through the hallway before retreating into a door and out of view. Shit was bonkers. Though the spectacle ended just as quickly as it began, when the skeleton all tiptoed backwards into each other, falling in pieces to the ground on contact.
Oh, wow! A mummy and a Frankenstein. Gee, this place is spooky.
Crystal figured aloud as she stooped down among the fresh pile of bones, curiously taking hold of that one skeleton's satchel in her hand. It was a bag of holding, a magical sack with its own little pocket dimension inside of it, and Crystal knew that these enchanted little things could fit a shit ton of shit in them, so she strung the small brown bag, no larger than her closed fist, around her hip, then shoved Wronghalf's body, his dick, and her heavy outer coat directly into it, as they were sucked into the bag's storage dimension.
Well, that's convenient.
She began her search as all great searches begin, with the first door on her right. The door that the elf kicked clean off its hinges as she stormed inside, dagger drawn, ready to face whatever horrors that lurked about in such a wretched place.
Sometimes you wanna go where no one knows your name, and no one's glad you came.
A customer!
Well, hidey-ho, hey there, traveler. Welcome to Monster's Ale House. Will that be a table or booth?
Crystal's dagger cut his query short as she hucked it through the air. As it shattered the glass in the bartender's hand, then embedded itself into the wooden cask of mead behind him.
Hey, partner, what's the big idea? That was my only glass and my only cask. What the heck?
Don't care.
The elf force-pulled the enchanted dagger back into her hand, then rummaged through the chest labeled Lost and Found against the wall at her side, the one she quickly pried open and liberated of its contents. Three ninja stars, a sleeveless lavender tunic, and an obsidian black magic wand.
The crystal apple tree. Where is it, barkeep?
Oh, the tree, of course. That'd be down the stairs at the end of that hall there. But mayhaps, you know, you fancy a little order of jalapeno poppers for the road. Right now, only 4 gold and 20 cents for a baker's dozen.
A single tumbleweed rolled across the length of the bar as the skeleton realized his guest was already gone.
Oh, rattle my dick bones, she left. Just like my wife. And she took the kids. Why did she take the kids? All I got is this damn bar. And I made the marketing, but no one knows your name. It's almost like I'm afraid of genuine undead connection. I can't fucking take it anymore!
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Every day in the nice little Canadian town of Beaver Mount, Ontario, is pretty much the same. Folks are polite, there's a hockey game that evening, and someone gets brutally murdered. Sorry About the Murder, a very Canadian murder mystery podcast. New episodes weekly. Listen to season one now by typing Sorry About the Murder into your favorite podcast app.
Ah, ben là!
Dude, what the fuck's going on, man? The IRS is outside, they want your cock!
Ricardo, get in here!
Cock!
Would you mind please explaining what exactly is going on here?
Cock!
What do you mean you opened a merch store? What are you even selling? Wow, that's a lot of high quality merch. You're saying t-shirts, hoodies, pins, mugs, steel water bottle containers, mouse pads, and more to come? All at a smoking price, might I add. How are you even gonna make money, Ricardo? I see. And all this is for sale on thewizardscrollshop.forthwall.com? Okay, Somebody's still got to get rid of the IRS, and I'm not doing it this time.
There he is!
It was my chicken! It was my chicken!
That's what they all say! Seize him, boys!
Ordinarily, Chris Stahl would have spent hours, days, weeks treasure hunting deep in the cold, gray stone catacombs of the frosted dungeon. She would have liberated the loot of every last chest in the place and made off like a bandit. She probably would have even settled for some of those jalapeno poppers right about now. But these weren't ordinary circumstances at all. Nay, she had wrong half to worry about. The cold, frostbitten little reverse centaur teetered perilously at the precipice between life and death. So Crystal wasted no time at all, for his sake. She darted straight into the door her guide had pointed out and slid down the stairs handrail, all the way down to B1F. She dismounted from the railing, leaping into the air and performing a quadruple axel backflip, some real acrobatic-type shit, before landing on one toe with all the majesty and grace that her elven heritage could provide. Landing that toe, unfortunately for her, right onto the toe-sized, weight-sensitive pressure plate on the floor, activating the mechanisms that barred off the stairs behind her, as well as the door at the far end of the room, successfully drawing the unwanted ire of the room's other two occupants in the process.
Beast. Cringe.
Beast. Cringe.
Fake and or gay.
Ah!
Trolls. Just as stupid, lame, and annoying as Crystal had known them to be.
Cuck.
Though far smaller, far more gaunt than the ones she was accustomed to seeing back in her neck of the Tiger Woods.
Beast cringe cringe, cringe beast!
But those sickening smiles and that refrain they repeated ad nauseam were sure signs of their heritage. Clear as day, even in the failing light of that desolate chamber.
A femoid beast during a BTFO.
The pair of trolls cornered their visitor in no time at all, drawing so close that she could smell their fetid breath as their repeated chant echoed throughout the room.
Beast. Cringe. Cuck. Cringe. Beast.
Beast. Cringe. 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 Beast.
Cringe.
And in a fit of blind panic, Crystal let loose all three of her shurikens in a rapid-fire succession. One of the trolls fell to the floor in a bloody heap, mortally wounded via the three shurikens sent whizzing through its heart, belly, and dick, respectively.
Beast!
And as Crystal dove out of the way of the remaining troll's artless, downward swinging fists, the second beast hunched down onto all fours of its own volition, for the simple act of whiffing its attack had left it winded, had left it extremely susceptible to Crystal's retaliation.
Cringe!
With her jagged blade now clamped between her teeth, she took a running leap up onto the troll's back. And before it could even react, before the beast could reach up and around, before it could swat her off with those useless, anemic arms. A perfectly executed downward thrust through the forehead brought its sad, miserable life to an abrupt end.
Those guys fucking suck. Ugh. At least they're both dead now.
With both trolls incapacitated, Crystal could now analyze her surroundings much more thoroughly. The trap doors on either end of the square-shaped room remained closed shut, and the only sources of light she could spot were the dozen or so tiny indigo crystals dotting the ceiling. It was just enough light to illuminate the thick, unkempt entanglement of cobwebs that had grown unchecked all over the walls and floor.
That pile of cobwebs sure seems conspicuous.
So the elf traversed to the opposite end of the small chamber, nearly slipping on the now gore-slick stone floor as she did so. Once at the pile, she tore away layer after layer of that messy webbing, uncovering the black metal chest that lay buried beneath. The chest that she practically dove into in anticipation of that sweet haul. A long, two-handed spear, surprisingly sharp given that it was made entirely out of bones, a whole book of Monster's Alehouse coupons, and some stainless steel plate mail armor.
A little protection never hurt anybody. But boy, is this stuff heavy!
She strapped the armor into place, strapped the bone spear to her back, and curiously inspected the coupon book in her hands. As the door on either side of the chamber abruptly reopened, the sudden flash of light that flooded into the room forced her eyes shut, and the ear-splitting screech of stone on stone brought the elf to her knees.
Hey, buddy! It's me, the bartender from before! I brought the stairs back for you. Now you and that neat-looking coupon book of yours can come back up to my place up here, and I'll whip you up. Am I fucking invisible? Well, Clyde, you know, people have been telling you that your wings are too spicy. And you know what? Maybe they're right. Maybe they are too spicy. Maybe you're too spicy. Maybe that's why no one wants to fucking talk to you. You always put up this front, this facade of the friendly bartender. But at the end of the day, people just want a fucking drink. This time I'm really gonna do it.
Unlike the room she had just come from, the succeeding chamber was completely clear of cobwebs, and there didn't seem to be any hostile creatures around either, so long as you didn't count the 10 cubic feet of seafoam green slime that jiggled in place in the center of the place. Contained within its jiggly form, floating all throughout the slime's interior, were the digested remains of fallen adventurers, all in various states of disarray. Some were little more than bones and plate armor, while others, the more recent victims, still had at least some flesh intact. Though all of them shared this common trait, they had all perished while swimming inward towards something shiny at the very center of the slime's being. The cube sat idly. If it could move, it made no effort to. It simply bided its time until a new adventurer came into its quarters, took a running start and diving leap into its body, and got themselves eaten, as so many countless others had evidently done before. So Kristal, not sensing any immediate danger, went in close for a better look. She stalked forward ever so slowly, until she was close enough to the cube that she could poke its gelatinous form with an outstretched finger. And that's exactly what she did. Tiny ripples spread out from the point of contact, and after the shockwaves spread and settled, as the cube's surface became smooth once again, she was finally able to see for herself just what had driven so many men and women and others inside to their demise. At the very core of the slimy slime, a pair of gauntlets made of solid gold floated there, just waiting to be snatched.
My oh my, check out the golden gloves. Those puppies will probably match pretty well with the whole lavender and black situation I've got going on.
She stroked her chin inquisitively as she weighed her options, taking one more step forward, dipping her toes in and getting a feel of the slime's interior temperature.
What do you think, wrong half? You're probably not the biggest fan of gloves, but...
She poked her head into the magic bag, spotting her freezing, comatose companion, still breathing, for now, and still wrapped in her off-white fur coat as he floated weightlessly in the pink-tinted void inside.
Oh shit! The apple! Fuck!
The elf unpoked her head from the satchel strung at her hip and took 5 bounding leaps backwards, away from the slime and those admittedly freaking sweet-looking gloves, until her back hugged the stone wall behind her.
Snap out of it, dumbass! Those things aren't worth the trouble and you know it! One second you're wrists deep in some gold-ass gloves, and the next you're being slowly digested over the course of 420 years by some sentient slime creature. That's Dungeon Crawling 101 for fart's sake.
And with her wits about her once more, the elf spun 180 degrees and pressed her face hard up against the wall. Anything to avoid those gloves and the wanton suicide they inspired.
So don't mind if I mosey on around here, Mr. Slime Guy. Scoozy. Nah, fuck it. I need me those gloves.
She immediately spun back around and charged at the slime. She took a diving leap inside and swam inward toward the prize at its gooey center. And after slogging through the seafoam green slime for what must have been several slimy seconds, she finally got her mitts on those gloves, feeling an instant surge of power as she shoved them on, as they conveniently shrunk to accommodate their new owner's comparatively tiny hands.
Now, what was I doing again? Wait. Oh, fuck!
Have no fear! Clyde, the friendly Skeleman bartender, is here!
A Skele-Man wearing a bow tie, false mustache, and now also a sombrero came bursting into the room, holding in one bony hand a 10-gallon pitcher filled with margarita mix and tequila, and in the other, a serving tray piled high with a mountain of fried foodstuffs.
Have some salty margaritas, you slimy sack of ass!
He emptied an entire salt shaker into the comically large pitcher, then poured it all into the slime's seafoam green body as its hue shifted into more of a barf green.
Gee, you must be hungry after all that. Luckily for you, I also brought endless apps. I'm talking boneless wings. I'm talking bone-in salads. How about a big hunk of meat? How about just a bone, just straight up? How about my own fucking arm? You want that? Is that good enough for you, Bonita?
He poured it all into the slime, which began to fizz up and jiggle violently in reaction to all the alcohol and grease. And then, the creature exploded, slime and half-digested corpses thrown outward at all angles.
Hey, buddy, are you okay? A bit hungrier now, mayhaps? I did save your ass twice in a row, after all. It's the least you could do. The least you could do is fucking acknowledge me. What do I look like? Just some deus ex machina to you? Huh?
He said as he wiped the gunk from his eye sockets with his rag, only to eventually see that he was by himself once again. That Crystal Everfall had already advanced through the corridor at the far end of the room, with her dagger in one hand and the spear in the other, with her lavender and black outfit matching exquisitely well with her brand new golden gauntlets, and with the fires of determination burning brightly in her emerald green eyes. She had charged down the stairs, directly into the very heart of the frosted dungeon. Directly toward the crystal apple tree and the creature that guarded it.
Do you know what you get when you take a skeleton and cross him with an elf girl who doesn't buy your wings? You get what you fucking deserve! I'll kill you! I'll kill you all! I'm like shaking the camera right now. You, listener, I'll fucking kill you! Buy my wings!
But the bartender's complaints were cut short. As the tumbleweed from earlier ran him over and he was disassembled on impact. Finn. Thanks for tuning in to me screaming about wizards for 20 minutes. If you're still here, odds are that you at least somewhat enjoyed what you just heard and are stoked for more. Well, fear not, dear listener, because more is right over yonder on the horizon of a week from now. But in the meantime, there's plenty more Wizard Scroll goodness for you to binge while you wait patiently for that good old episode 105. Dropping next Saturday morning, just like your favorite cartoon. Get your cereal bowl, pack your other bowl with some of that green stuff, take a hit, pop your earbuds in. Next Saturday morning, I'll meet you here for episode 5. How's that sound? In case you haven't heard, I also do voice work on Fiverr. If you want fast, reliable service from a guy who really knows how to bring a script to life, then look no further than right here. This voice that you're hearing right now could be yours for a small sum of money. If you go to my Fiverr, commission me, give me a script, I'll read it, send it back, nice wave file, whatever you want. It's all yours. All I need is that commission. Anyway. Word of mouth is how this show can continue to grow, so share the shit out of it with everyone you know. And until next Saturday, bye.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Dum-Dums and Dice would like to welcome you into the Mythos Mysteries, a live-play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imagining. Our story begins with two erstwhile companions on a long and winding road. They think they are fleeing danger, but greater horror awaits them when they arrive, for they are not just running away from mortal danger, but towards the Mythos Mysteries.
Whoever you are, we're not scared of you.
You hear a voice from inside that says, "Please help. I'm inside the dresser. Help."
Now I need you to listen to my very explicit instructions here, Adrian.
Okay.
please ready your punch and fists.
Yeah, they're always ready.
Now I'm gonna open the door.
Okay.
And we're gonna look inside the dresser.
What if we don't? Could we not?
I need you to be brave for me.
Okay.
You were always very brave.
Okay. So we're gonna open the door and you're gonna look in the dresser and then what?
And then if I tell you to,
yep,
we're gonna punch it.
The dresser? You said I had to be very, you said explicit.
If there is someone in the dresser,
I'm punching.
We're going to punch him.
What if it's a ghost?
Well, then we're going to have ourselves a fun time. So,
like a party?
Like a birthday party.
Okay, so we'll do some dancing and there will be a cake. Hopefully the ghost brought it.
Yes.
Okay, I can do this.
Okay. I'm going to open the door now.
Okay.
I'm going to open the door.
You open the door and the dresser is back upright. All the drawers are back inside, but now it is next to the window and the bed is in a different corner.
Of course it is.
And the blood is pooling on the floor instead of the ceiling. It's dripping up.
The Mythos Mysteries. Episodes are available now.